Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We head to the phone lines right now to be joined by a friend of the show, James Palmer. He is with The Athletic and Bleacher Report to talk about the 0-2 start for the Kansas City Chiefs. James, happy to have you back on the show.
It's been a minute, man. How you been?
Doing great, man. It's been a while since the Chiefs have had their backs up against the wall. This is the question that everybody is asking in Kansas City. Are you panicked by the 0-2 start?
I don't think you panic because of the head coach, because of the continuity, because of the quarterback. Do I think there's a feeling inside the building that is different than years past when they've had some moments where they need to figure things out? I definitely think that's true, if that makes sense. I think there is a different feeling, however slight it is. I don't think there's panic that this is a little bit different than in years past where we need to figure something out, whether it's the slow start for the defense where they start off to – remember the season when they started off historically bad in yards per play and figured things out as the season went on. I do think some of the issues that are, of note are ones that they think they can correct, but I don't know if the confidence level is as high as it's been in the past about correcting some of them. And I think there's a key player in this, which is the rest of the division is much better. I mean, I think we do need to be clear. I don't take anything away from the Chiefs going to 7 straight AFC title games, and that's all they know in the Patrick Mahomes era. The rest of the division, for the vast majority of that, has not been very good. And now you have, and you saw last night, the Raiders are as tough as they come. The Chargers are legit. And I think Broncos were the team everybody was picking as the darling. It hasn't gone as well as they've, wanted to at the start of the season, but they're definitely better as well. So I think all of this plays a part in going, we're not panicking, but there are definite issues, and we're not sure if we're going to figure all of them out, but we'll probably get some of them. That puts us in a spot where we don't panic, but there's concern.
One issue that I've really been kind of beating the drum for on this show is I thought it was pretty clear this offseason that the Chiefs needed to make an improvement in the running back room, and the Chiefs were just very slow to make changes. They brought in Elijah Mitchell. He has been inactive for the first two games of the season. Breshard Smith, the 7th-round pick, he only has one carry. You're not getting any explosiveness for the run game. Patrick Mahomes is a dynamic quarterback. He shouldn't be leading quarterbacks in rush yards. That's just not the kind of style of quarterback that he is. I feel like their offense right now struggles to have an identity, and a large part of that is their offense feels so dependent on Pat to go be special when he just doesn't have those weapons on the outside that he's accustomed to.
Yeah, the first part of that is 100% true. I think we saw last night a Houston Texans team that just couldn't run the ball at all, right? And that's a credit to the Bucs too, but without Joe Mixon, it's not been the same run game there. And, it really hung C.J. Stroud out to dry. And it's hard to play one-dimensional when everybody knows that's the case. And Patrick's not just leading all quarterbacks in rushing. He's leading the Chiefs in rushing. He's led them in both games. And so yeah, that's an aspect that you would think that, okay, is Isaiah Pacheco going to be back to the guy he was a couple of years ago prior to the injury? And we saw him, you know, run the rock and kind of help kind of demoralize defenses and wear them down physically a little bit. Like, that doesn't seem to be there right now. And so that's an aspect. And then the second part of what you said, I think, is really one of the biggest parts of what's going on with this team offensively. I think Pat feels like he has to do everything. And I think he feels like when he plays at his best, which was otherworldly essentially almost in game one, and it's not equating to wins. And that's when things start to get a little dicey. Like, you could then have a quarterback on your hands, and this has happened around the league, where they feel like they have to do everything, right? And they feel like they have to put the entire team on their back and do it themselves. And do they trust everything around them? I think these are all, you know, questions that we need that were relevant to ask about the situation. And I think Patrick's probably not at his best when he's feeling that way. And I think he probably, my educated guess is, he feels that way a little bit right now.
Right now, we're talking to James Palmer with The Athletic and also with Bleacher Report. This was a question that I think many people, myself, yourself included, asked this question. The AFC has been Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo for the last 3 years or so, and we were waiting to see if there was going to be another team that entered the mix. It looks like the Chargers could potentially be in that conversation. Are you ready to put them there, or do you need to see more and we just need to let more time happen before we put the Chargers in the mix with those three teams?
Well, I think they're the team that everybody was curious, you know, were they going to be the ones to do it? I think there was a minute there everybody thought Houston was going to be that team. You know, they've gone through the divisional round each of the last two seasons. But that offensive line seems to be a real problem. I think the Chargers are the team that everybody's picking. I mentioned that I think before the season started, everybody was picking Denver. But when I look at Denver's, you know, skill position guys, that's not what the Chargers have. They got Chargers have a better group, and I think Bo Nix had a really, really good rookie season. This all hinges on Justin Herbert, and I think we were all wondering, like, if you bring up to league circles, Carrington, like, you talk to people around the league, it's who's the guy that you're just waiting to eventually put it all together and has the talent to get in that group of the top four, which the top four is what? It's Patrick, and it's Lamar, and it's Josh, and it's Joe. It's Justin Herbert. He's the unanimous really name, honestly, that everybody thinks he has all the tools to get into that group. It just hasn't come together. Well, now he has a head coach that believes he can be in that group. He has an offensive coordinator that believes he can be in that group. They've unleashed him in terms of running the football. He's healthy, which has not always been the case. He has some weapons around him. And it's a funny little, like, connection, but through the first 5 years of his career and through the first 5 years of Peyton Manning's career, they're the only two quarterbacks to throw for more than 125 touchdowns and not win a playoff game. In year six, Peyton Manning led the league in passing, won MVP, and won two postseason games, and it started to start rolling in Indianapolis. This is year six for Herbert. Does it start rolling for him? Like, there's enough evidence here with as good as this defense is as well. And the way that they've survived the Rashawn Slater injury, I think they're legit. And the scheduling anomaly that is, you know, is playing all three of your divisional opponents in the first 3 weeks, that just doesn't happen. If they beat Denver this week, I mean, they're in a really great spot in the AFC West, just 3-0 in the division when you look at where everybody else is.
Right now, we're talking to James Palmer of The Athletic and Bleacher Report, going over some of the top stories in the NFL as the Chiefs get ready for Sunday Night Football coming up against the New York Giants. I want to talk about a national story that affects the Chiefs but also affects a lot of other teams in the league. I believe that Tyreek Hill is going to be traded at some point this season. It feels a lot like what happened last year with Devontae Adams, where we all knew that he was going to be traded. We also knew what team he was going to be traded to. I think there's a lot of possibilities for Tyreek Hill. Kansas City makes some sense. I can see the Chargers really trying to go for it and make a move. San Francisco is a little bit light at wide receiver. Do you see it the same way? Are you hearing it the same way that you and I are going to be having a conversation in mid-October that Tyreek Hill plays for another team?
I would say our assumptions are correct. I would say it's not there yet. Because of two things. One, if they do that, it's essentially things have gotten even worse than a players-only meeting after week one, like it happened in Miami. It's that, you know, some people could be potentially losing their jobs, whether it's Mike McDaniel or it's Greer at the GM position. And so I think obviously they're not going to jump the gun on that, right? They're going to keep waiting to see if their season can be salvageable and to see if they can keep this thing going offensively with him and Waddle and Tua, and they can keep rolling. They held on to him this offseason for a reason, right? The talent is still there. They got rid of the other guys that are malcontents in that locker room, and they didn't get rid of Tyreek. So they're not going to jump at the beginning of the season, and these type of trades just don't happen in the first couple of weeks because of everything I listed with the Dolphins. And then on the other side, other teams just don't make trades like this early in the season on a player like this, because they're still figuring out their roster. Like, let's use Pittsburgh as a really good example. They've done some deals with Miami, right, in recent memory, and they've been looking to see if they have a complimentary number two wide receiver to DK Metcalf. Well, like, right now, early in the season, it looks like Calvin Austin might be that guy. Well, let's get a larger sample size to see if the guy's already on our roster to be the complement to DK Metcalf, and we don't have to make a trade. So teams are still early on evaluating what they have, and they don't want to jump the gun this early. That's kind of why, yes, by the trade deadline, this is a very realistic possibility in a lot of people's minds. Just right now, I don't think it's something that's probably feasible, but it's certainly something to watch. And I think the contract plays a little part in it. But there's another part that, like, you didn't bring up. Like, there's the off-the-field situation right now that's getting looked at by the NFL, and that's going to play a part in this as well.
James, I'm curious to get your thoughts on Philadelphia's tush push. It feels to me that Sunday's game was the turning point in all of this. I think there are a lot of people like me. If I was an owner, I would have voted to keep the tush push this offseason. A lot of it felt like sour grapes. A lot of it felt like, well, you guys can't run it as effectively. You guys can't stop it, so now you want to stop them from doing it. Watching them run it seven times on Sunday, I felt like the offensive line was pretty routinely lined up incorrectly. I think you saw multiple false starts that didn't get called. You hear Dean Blandino basically throw his hands up in the air and say, we can't officiate this play. It felt like Sunday's game was a major turning point for that play.
I think so. I think it was. And I'm with you. If every team is doing it on second and every team's doing it on third and fourth down and they're converting it routinely, get rid of the play. But until another team becomes really good at it, I mean, we all saw it. I was standing on the sideline last year in the postseason when Josh Allen and company tried it, and they couldn't get it, and it cost them the game. And so I'm with you that I still believe it should be. I know it's not aesthetically pleasing, which is for some reason matters to some people. Now, in terms of the offensive line lining up incorrectly and there being false starts, that doesn't make the play illegal. That makes it an issue with the officiating crew that is not calling it properly, right? I mean, I think that's a more accurate spot. That doesn't mean the play is bad. It means they're not officiating it correctly. And Dean, it was interesting because I think that's why Sunday was a big deal. When you have a former head of officiating, and I know Dean, and he used to come talk to us at NFL Network and tell us everything that was going on. When he says on a broadcast with millions of people listening, I'm done with the tush push, like, that's a really big statement. It's really big. And I think we know where the commissioner stands on this. It's just not an ironic thing that the Green Bay Packers are the ones that, you know, that propose to have it banned, the one team without an acting owner. That's more than just a coincidence. And so I do think there's an agenda to get rid of it. I do think it's trending in that direction. Is it a very, very difficult to play to defend when the Eagles do it? Yes, it is. And so, I just think it is trending that way, and I think Philadelphia running it seven times against the Chiefs might be a little bit of the Eagles going, we're probably not going to have this play for after this year. We're going to run it to death. We're just going to keep running it because we may not have a chance to run it after this year. But I agree with you that I would vote against banning it as long as it's called correctly. That's the biggest thing. Call it right. If you think they're false start and they're offsides, then call them on it. You know what I mean? I don't think that part should be in the equation of banning the play.
I want to get your opinions on this Tom Brady issue. I feel like we're only allowing this because it's Tom Brady. And I get it. He is the greatest quarterback of all time. He is still one of the faces of the league, even though he's not an active player. I just find it hard to believe that we would let any minority owner operate the way that he is being allowed to operate. The league talks so much about integrity and competitive balance between the teams, yet we are giving one team a tremendous competitive advantage solely based off who their minority owner is.
Yeah, I mean, I put this tweet out during the game, and it's got millions of impressions apparently on X, and rightfully so. Everybody has an opinion on it. I think a lot of fans, and this isn't dogging fans, this is just, I hope I can educate them a little bit, like, are uneducated on the matter. Most of the comments I saw, and there's hundreds of them on my tweet, is like, well, then just have the players and coaches not talk to him. That's easy. Why are we crying about this? Like, it's not an edited advantage. He's just a broadcaster. There's a lot of layers to this. Like, there really are. Like, I've been, you know, the sideline reporter for NFL Network broadcast games, right? I've been in those production meetings. They are really the last fully open and transparent type of meetings between the media and these coaches and these players that's left. And there is a lot of integrity and a lot of people I really, really respect, from Jim Nance to Tracy Wolfson to Evan Washburn to, you know, the list goes on, that they keep a lot of what's said in those meetings to themselves, because there's a lot of honesty in there. It's to help educate them on calling the game properly and knowing kind of what's going right and wrong for teams. And all of those people that work these games keep a lot of that to themselves, and it's off the record. Well, if you're saying those things to a person that is a minority owner of another team, they can go and use that information in a variety of ways. Now, a lot of people say what goes on in the meeting is just, you know, about the game plan for that specific week, so it doesn't really matter. No, you can find out what players are upset with the organization. You can find out what, you know, what players are maybe on the outs with the organization. It can give you an advantage possibly in free agency. It can give you an advantage in a lot of different ways in a league that is cloaked in secrecy. Like, you know, so many head coaches give very little information, and this is a place that that information is given. And so I think there is a bit of a of an interesting dynamic here that that the league is, you know, put in, or put themselves in all honesty. And if they didn't think it was a problem, why did they delete the tweet promoting it? Like, why did they take their own tweet down talking about Tom Brady being up there and having meetings with his own offensive staff? Like, so they must have some sense that it's an interesting, you know, conversation that needs to be had about ethics and where, you know, where conflict of interest can be. And you're also talking, and I love Tom, and I think he's the greatest player in the history of the league. He also has been accused and found guilty of cheating within the NFL. His organization has been found guilty of cheating within the NFL. And so I just find it very, very interesting that they're allowing this to happen. And I think the statement again today shows that this is a topic that's probably not going to go away. And I hope fans kind of know that, like, it's an interesting, you're putting a lot of players and coaches in interesting spots during those meetings. And they're talking to Tom Brady, too. And there's a lot of players talking to Tom Brady that respect the hell out of him. They might say more than they're supposed to. And I think Tom's going to file that away.
Last thing, James, and we appreciate your time as always. We have seen 2 weeks of the NFL. Is there a team that you've been surprised at their start and they've really impressed you? You like how they've looked? I guess outside of Kansas City, because they're 0-2, has there been a team that has disappointed you? A team that you're surprised at how slow of a start or how disappointing they've looked so far this season?
Yeah, I'd say the surprise team out to a really good start is definitely Indianapolis. I mean, nobody thought this was going to happen. And, I mean, their punter has not participated in the NFL yet. We're approaching week three. He hasn't punted a football. I mean, I guess he's the holder, but he hasn't punted a football in two games. I mean, we didn't see this from Daniel Jones, but I do think that's a better team than maybe some people expected. And now they're exceeding expectations. And I think Shane Steichen's actually a pretty good play caller, and he found a guy that can operate it the way that he wants to be operated. And they can very much win that division because of the other team I'm looking at is Houston being 0-2. Like, that's supposed to be one of the best defenses in football. And that is a really, really talented group of skill guys, from Nico Collins to the two rookies to, you know, they'll get Christian Kirk back this week, and they've been without him. But you have a good tight end. Like, I thought, you know, this could be a team if they get the offensive line figured out and they change play callers, because they thought that would fix some things, that they're sitting at 0-2. I think those are the two that kind of stand out to me about being the ones that have surprised me in either direction. And then just real quick, I'll just say, like, Green Bay is seriously for real. Like, seriously, seriously for real. Like, that defense is about as fast as we can see in the NFL. Jordan Love has all the weapons in the world, a complex, creative running game. Like, the Packers, I think, are a real threat to come out of the NFC now. But those are the three kind of takeaways I have through the first 2 weeks.
That is James Palmer of The Athletic, also Bleacher Report, friend of the show. We like to check in with him periodically and get an update on what is happening in the National Football League. The Chiefs are currently 0-2. It feels very weird to say that the Chiefs have a must-win game in Week 3 on the road against the New York Giants. I'm with you, James. I haven't pressed that panic button yet for the Chiefs. But if you and I talk next week and they are 0-3 and they have to beat Baltimore at home, I will have pressed the panic button at that point.
I think it's fair. I think the one thing, really quick, I'll say this: you just want to make sure Patrick keeps things on the tracks and he doesn't like overextend himself trying to do everything before like Rashee Rice comes back. You know what I mean? Before he gets Xavier Worthy fully healthy. Like, I think that's what everybody in Chiefs country is waiting for, or Chiefs kingdom, sorry, is waiting for. But I just think, you know, they have to win this game, and I think winning by double digits is kind of important, honestly.
That is James Palmer joining us on the show. James, we appreciate you.
Always, brother. Always.
I do not care how many points the Chiefs beat the Giants by. There have been times in my career that I would have cared, for sure. And if you think that's hypocritical, I'm willing to accept that and own that. I don't care how they win. They just got to put this one in the win column. Their schedule is difficult enough. They have multiple games against the Broncos. They still have a game left against the Chargers. They go on the road and play the Buffalo Bills this season. They still got a game left against Baltimore. They play the Lions. They play the Commanders. Like, I can go up and down the schedule. This is off memory. A game to the Giants cannot be in the loss column. Not for a team that we think is going to be picking in the top eight. No. I don't care how. You will not hear a second of complaining from me if they win a 15-14 last second field goal, grind it out kind of game. Hey, right now it is about trying to be 3-3 or 4-2 whenever they get Rashee Rice back. That's the goal. I don't care how. I really don't. I'm not going to judge them. I'm not holding them to it. That is not a concern for me. So I want to at least point that out based on what we just heard from James Palmer. I really do think that Tyreek Hill is getting traded between now and the trade deadline. I know that that's not the topic this week the way that it was last week, and that's perfectly fine. I mean, it's week two heading into week three of the NFL season. I don't think we're going to have weekly updates on if the Dolphins are going to trade Tyreek Hill, but we all know where this is headed. Right now, if you look at the odds, Mike McDaniel is the overwhelming choice to be the first coach to get fired. It feels like we are headed towards a soft reset for the Dolphins. New coach, maybe new quarterback. You get Tyreek Hill's number off the books. Maybe you do something with Devon Achane. It just feels like to me the Dolphins are about 3 weeks from blowing this thing up. They are right around the corner of it. So we don't got to dive all the way into it. We certainly will have a lot of time. I'm guessing there's going to be a handful of shows where Tyreek Hill is the number one topic in Kansas City. I think at some point he'll be the number one topic in the NFL. I still think there's more than enough juice there. I just don't think the Dolphins are a good enough team to get it out of them. All right, I want to ask you guys this question, and we'll discuss it more coming up in just a bit. What do you think the Chiefs' offensive identity is as they are heading into week three and they are heading into Sunday Night Football? What do you think the identity of this offense is? What do you think the identity of this team is? I'll tell you what I think it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I asked you guys this question before the break. What would you consider the Chiefs' offensive identity to be right now? I want to play for you some audio, and I'll give you my answer. Nate Taylor was on Cody and Gold earlier today. He was asked, hey, what is Matt Nagy's fault? What is not Matt Nagy's fault with the offense? I know you guys are unhappy with Matt Nagy. I had a little bit of a differing opinion, but I'm curious to hear what Nate Taylor says. Here's what he said.
I also want to say that the second half was excellent in Sao Paulo from an offensive perspective. It's not Matt Nagy's fault that there was some miscommunication between Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce on that crossing route.
Yeah.
That if they do connect, he waltz into the end zone. You could make a similar argument, not as strong, about Sunday. Again, not Matt Nagy's fault that, you know, the ball is a little tick early. But it's in your hands. It's on your forearm. You got to find a way to catch it or at least not let it turn to a turnover. The development of younger players is where you should question Matt Nagy. It is not Andy Reid's job, or it shouldn't be Andy Reid's job if we consider him.
To make Sky Moore better.
Yeah.
To make Pacheco have better vision on the ground.
Correct. Andy Reid is above most of this. Now, he will take time to individually coach guys. It's the same thing with Steve Spagnuolo on the defense. But his philosophy has always been, I am a teacher. I teach the players and I coach the coaches so that the coaches can better teach the players. Well, the Chiefs have the worst running back duo through 2 weeks. Is that a player issue or is that a Matt Nagy / Todd Pinkston issue?
All right. I hate that I've turned into the person that has to defend Matt Nagy, but okay, here I am. I'm not even doing this to be counter. I'm not even doing this to be on the other side, but okay. Let's start with the run game part that he made about Isaiah Pacheco, Kareem Hunt, and where they are. The Chiefs have a seventh-round running back who is coming off a significant leg injury heading into his final season. They had a choice. They were at a crossroads with their offense. Right now, they don't have a single player outside of Breshard Smith who is under contract for next season at the position. One reason why I was screaming that they should draft somebody is you have a long-term plan at the position. So like the Broncos, for example, you got J.K. Dobbins, but you also have R.J. Harvey. So you got the J.K. Dobbins for the short term, and you also got a long-term option with a running back that people like. That's not what the Chiefs decided to do. So I'm blaming Matt Nagy for the lack of urgency in trying to improve the position and trying to make Isaiah Pacheco work when it might not work anymore. Like, there is a possibility of that it just doesn't work anymore. Now let's talk about the wide receiver room. Again, I hate that they are putting me in a position where I gotta be, it feels like, the only person in the city that defends Matt Nagy, that maybe you haven't given him the pieces to put together one of these offenses. They developed Rice. They developed Worthy, did they not? Those are two players that got better as the season progressed. So we don't give Matt Nagy. If we're saying that Matt Nagy's job is to develop the young players, they're two young receivers we're developing. One got cross-checked into the IR, and the other one got himself suspended. I don't think that's a Matt Nagy issue. Now I'm looking at the guys that you do have. What young players should he be coaching up? Tell me who's young in their offense currently. I'm talking about the guys that played on Sunday. Who's young? They're getting some out of Tyquan Thornton. He's a young guy. He's a guy who's in, what, year three? Failed second-round pick? I mean, he's been their best receiver so far. Hollywood Brown's not young. We're mad at Matt Nagy because he's not getting the most out of Nico Remigio. Is Juju still young? You brought back Juju. Juju had one catch for 5 yards. So I'm all for blaming Matt Nagy for things that he should be blamed for. I just got to challenge Nate Taylor a little bit. If we're saying developing the young players, you got to tell me what players on offense they're supposed to be developing that they haven't already developed. Yes, they missed on Sky Moore. Did Matt Nagy draft Sky Moore? Is there an offense that we think he would have worked in? I'm just asking. You guys know my stance on Matt Nagy. I don't think they've given him a whole lot of pieces. I don't think they've given him a whole lot of dogs. I don't think they're very talented right now on offense with the injuries that they currently have. So I'm not putting that on Matt Nagy if we're saying that's what his responsibility is. If we don't think he's the one calling the plays, we also don't think he's the one shopping for groceries, I don't know what more I can be asking their offensive coordinator to do given their circumstances. Now let me ask the question that I posed. What would I say is the offensive identity of the Kansas City Chiefs right now? I think it's Pat Save Us. I think that's their offensive identity today. I don't think that'll be their offensive identity a month from now. I don't think that'll be their offensive identity in December. Hopefully not in January. But I think right now, I think their plan is, Pat, we need you to save us. We need you to be the absolute best you can be. We need you to run. If you think that there's a lane there, you need to go do it. And I understand that being a plan for a short-term period of time. But we got to hold some level of responsibility to Brett Veach. And Brett Veach, we trust. We trusted Brett Veach with the run game. He didn't do anything with it. They brought back Hollywood and Juju Smith-Schuster. They combined for 35 yards in Sunday's game. Nico Remigio. You ain't really got a whole lot. This team's offensive philosophy was based on everybody getting back and everybody being healthy, which is a great plan when everybody is there and everybody is healthy and everybody's available. In fact, it's the best plan. Their plan did not involve any injuries happening to their team. Not a single. There was not a plan B anywhere. There's not a plan B at running back. There's not a plan B when it comes to the wide receiver room if an injury happens. You can't look at their roster and think they had a plan B.
We agree, if I can push the button back here, we agree on what the Chiefs offensive identity is. It is, they are very reliant on number 15. Where me and you disagree is, I'm worried that that's still going to be their identity in week 9, in week 12, in week 15. And it's because of what you just said. They weren't prepped for the beginning of the season to deal with any injury. Do you know what I know is going to happen over the course of an NFL season? More injuries. Not because, you know, I'm some, you know, able to see the future. That's so Raven
football
type.
Happens.
It's football. So if you didn't have a backup plan in week 1 through 6, which is presumably when you're going to be the healthiest because you're coming out of camp, you're not having a backup plan weeks 7 through 18 is also concerning. So I think their identity right now is, Pat, go be great. I'm terrified that's the same identity they'll have in week 12. Let's just say Hollywood Brown gets hurt. He's been hurt before. Who? We don't know. Let's just say, I don't know, Jawan Taylor gets hurt. Let's say Kingsley Sumatia gets hurt. Let's say Travis Kelce at 35 has missed a game or two due to injury. Are they able to sustain those? Probably not, which would mean the identity is, Pat, go be great. And I'm terrified that's their 18-week plan, because 2 weeks into that plan, it has been bad. It's been a bad plan.
Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, are you saying that Matt Nagy's job is to do nothing at all? I don't know what Matt Nagy's job is, if I'm being completely honest with you. I don't know what his job is. If Nate is telling me it's his job to develop young players, I think he has done a fine job at that. I think they developed Xavier Worthy the second half of the season. I think they developed Rashee Rice into a pretty good number one wide receiver. I don't think they had anything to do with the ACL tear or LCR. I don't think they had anything to do with Xavier Worthy dislocating his shoulder. I don't think they had anything to do with that. Outside of that, I don't know if they've really given Matt Nagy or the offense a lot of really good other young players to develop. They haven't given Matt Nagy a 23-year-old fourth-round pick running back that we think they haven't used correctly. So I would just say I think they have done the best with the pieces they have been given. I don't know if they were given great pieces. I don't know if they were given very explosive pieces. I told you guys this 3 weeks ago. I think Juju is done. I think he is done as an NFL player. I think his body, it's over. He's been injured for most of his career. I think the Patriots told you his knees didn't work. They got out of that contract immediately. It really hasn't worked since he's been here in Kansas City. Or the second time, not the first time. The first time he was very, very good. Since then, I think it's over for him at 28 years old. They brought that player back this offseason. So I understand the frustration with Nagy, and I get it. And the offensive coordinator is usually the first one. If you're not going to blame the coach, you're not going to blame the quarterback, the easiest person to blame is the offensive coordinator. I don't know what more Matt Nagy could do with the pieces that they currently have healthy and available. I just don't think they have a lot of juice. I don't think they have a lot of dogs. This is an offense right now that is built around a 35-year-old podcaster. That's just not going to, that's not a top 10 offense in the National Football League. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with C-Dot right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Text line 913-586-7965. We played a cut from Nate Taylor, where Nate said that he feels that Matt Nagy hasn't done a great job in developing some of the younger players on the team. My question was, aside from Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice, what other young players have they tried to add to the offense? They've brought a lot of players who kind of know the system and know the scheme, but I mean, their running back room I wouldn't consider to be young at this point. Their wide receivers this offseason, they brought back Hollywood Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster. Like, they just don't really have a lot of those young players on the offensive side of the ball. They have a lot of them at corner. They have a lot of those players in the secondary. They don't have a lot of young players on offense. So if we're going to be critical of Matt Nagy, I think you got to give him more young players. And we're saying that's what his kind of job is, to kind of develop a lot of those guys. Someone just texted in because I was talking about Juju Smith-Schuster. CDOT, didn't Juju have a 140-yard game last season? He did. Juju Smith-Schuster last year, so this was actually almost a year ago, he had 7 catches for 130 yards in week 5 against the New Orleans Saints. Since that game, Juju Smith-Schuster has played in 14 games for the Chiefs and has 220 yards. Juju, since rejoining the Chiefs, he has 2 games in which he's had more than 40 yards receiving. That's just where I think we are now at this point with Juju. I don't think that that guy can be a consistent producer for you in this offense. And right now, with the Chiefs being shorthanded the way that they are, and we'll find out tomorrow, Xavier Worthy is going to practice. Is he going to be able to play? That just gives them another body. I just don't think they have a whole lot to work with right now in that wide receiver room, which is why I've been really banging the drum. Well, if you don't got it at wide receiver, you need to be able to rely on running the football, and they can't rely on running the football. And I think that has led to some of the offensive issues that they have. But I don't want to make it seem like it's all negative with the Chiefs. It's certainly not all negative. Let's talk about a couple of the positives, Rob. One of the positives has been their left tackle. Josh Simmons has been as advertised. He has been very good. If you're somebody that buys into the numbers on Pro Football Focus, Josh Simmons has graded out very, very well on Pro Football Focus. I'll give you the numbers in Sunday's game, more appropriately. He faced 36 pass block attempts. He didn't allow a pressure. He didn't allow a sack. And that's going up against a defensive line that we think is one of the best in the National Football League. In fact, if you want to go to all of Pro Football Focus, there were only 2 offensive linemen, offensive tackles, that graded out better than Josh Simmons did in week 2. One was Garrett Bowles. The other was Trent Williams. Third was Josh Simmons. So if you are looking for some hope, some optimism about this team, they completely look like they nailed the Josh Simmons pick. That's how you felt when they made the pick. We heard a lot of people talking about him early on in the training camp portion, that they had swung big and hit a home run. I mean, the numbers would come out pretty well. He had a really, really good season. He graded out at an 87.8. For those of you that follow Pro Football Focus, I mean, Trent Williams got a 90.8. So he was just a notch below what Trent Williams gave you in week 2. And I think that Trent Williams is the best left tackle in the National Football League. I think he's a potential first ballot Hall of Famer. I think he is the best tackle of his generation. I would also say, and I've been critical of each, and that's fine, I have to give him credit for Tyquan Thornton. Brett Veach has made it a point to kind of look for those Brett Veach specials, we call them. A guy who's a former first, second round, maybe a third round pick. A guy who didn't work in his current or his old situation. You bring him into Kansas City. You incorporate them into what you're doing and you see what you can get. Tyquan Thornton was not a player that we spent a lot of time talking about when the season or in the offseason. We didn't spend a lot of time kind of applauding that move. I think right now he's their best receiver. I don't think that's going to be the case once we get going, but I mean, right now, I think Tyquan Thornton has been one of the players that they can depend on and they can rely on. I think Patrick has missed him a couple of times. He missed him multiple times in game 1, where if you connect on maybe 1-2 more of those plays, you end up winning the game. He also had him wide open down the middle of the field in week 2 and just missed him. I think Tyquan Thornton has been their best, most consistent, and if you have looked for a big play in this offense, I think there have been chances for Tyquan Thornton to make those big plays. I just don't think they've executed them so far.
I remember I was admittedly skeptical of the Tyquan Thornton hype. I felt like, all right, this is what people do in the offseason. We get hyped up about, you know, wide receiver 5, wide receiver 6. It felt like Justin Ross hype all over again. I was wrong. Tyquan Thornton you could argue might be the most important wide receiver on the roster right now. You don't see Hollywood Brown going deep, despite the fact he's supposed to be a speedster. You don't see Juju Smith-Schuster, who you called Wash, going deep. Like, their only vertical threat right now, and part of that is because of injury and suspension, their only vertical threat is Tyquan Thornton, and he has been a really good find. That's a guy who was a cast-off in New England, a second-round pick that looked like a bust, and now he is, I don't want to say he's been great, but he's been really productive for a team that needs productivity at wide receiver. So I kind of felt like, let's pump the brakes. Let's let offseason hype be offseason hype. 2 weeks into the season, he has been a productive NFL wide receiver for this team, which they don't seem to have a lot of those on the roster. So credit to Veach, credit to Mahomes, credit to Nagy, credit whoever you want to give credit to, Andy Reid, whoever. They have gotten the most out of Tyquan Thornton, and there's clearly still juice left in that body.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you're looking at Tyquan Thornton, I mean, we're not, he's not that far off from getting his career high in receiving yards. He's not that far off. I mean, he's won two games. I mean, Tyquan Thornton already in two games has more yards than he's had receiving the last 2 years. He had 91 receiving yards his second year in the league. He had 47 receiving yards last year for New England. He already has four catches for 100 yards. He has been their big play receiver so far. It's not like he's made a bad read. It's not like he's had a couple of drops. He hasn't really been that kind of player. They've used him for the big play down the field, and they just haven't been able to connect on those plays. So if you want to look for what has been a positive, what has been a good sign for the Chiefs offense, I want to see what Tyquan Thornton looks like in this offense when he is maybe used for that kind of secondary role. When you get back Rashee Rice, when you get back Xavier Worthy, I think Tyquan Thornton has kind of proven, especially at his age, 25 years old, former second round pick. This is he can play. Let's put him in the slot. Let's have him be a good third down back. Can he be a guy that can take advantage of some of the attention that's going to be shown over the top for Xavier Worthy, some of the attention that's going to be shown for Rashee Rice? Can he develop into that player? We were talking about Khalil Shakir for the Buffalo Bills last week. Could Tyquan Thornton just end up being just a really solid number three option, a guy that could give you 650, 700 yards, and be a guy that you ended up really stealing? This was a guy that everybody in the NFL could have got. He was a cast off from the New England Patriots. You got him for a nothing deal. And he's been, again, in my opinion, I think he's been the best receiver that they've had so far on the team. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about the ever-changing AFC West. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly you what know why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.